Good morning, church. It is a great joy to be with you this morning again. And I hope you are grateful to come to the house of the Lord, to worship the Lord, listening to the reading of His Word, singing these wonderful songs that speaks of God, and then now sitting to hear the Word of God that comes from the mouth of God. So before we begin with our study or preaching this morning, let us bow then our heads, then I will pray. Here we are, O God, appearing before your presence. But we cannot help but think of that beautiful time when we shall appear permanently before you, O God. Remind us day by day of this beautiful day that is still coming. Speak to us this morning. Reveal your Son to us one more time. Open the ears and the eyes of the people, that we may see and may hear these beautiful truths that comes from your word. Speak to us, O God, till your church is built. Speak to us, O God, until the whole world is filled with your glory. We ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. May the church of God say Amen.
Amen.
Brethren, we're continuing on our study in the Gospel according to Matthew. And this morning, once again, we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 4. So please open your Bibles in Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read together from verse 1 to verse 11. And the title of this message, so simple this morning, it is written. Matthew chapter 4, we're reading verse 1 to verse 11. Those who carry the pew Bibles, it will be page 809. We shall read together then, and I'm reading from the ESV. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to a holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All this I will give to you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering. They were ministering to him. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth in our hearts. As I have said already, we are continuing in this study in our series in the Gospel according to Matthew. Just to remind you of last week's message, we have seen that God is actually in control. God is the one that leads his people. Regardless of what is happening in our lives, the Spirit of God leads us. All that we need to do, we need to abide in him, that we may follow his lead, that we may know how to follow his lead. He leads us even to the places where we may be tempted. But above all that, he still gives us the power to look unto Jesus and then overcome. To look unto Jesus and be victorious. We have learned that the wilderness is always there. And we are in our own wilderness. But in our own wilderness, we can still trust our Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning, we're just continuing again and looking at this account of Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus, the only man in history, went face to face with the devil and he defeated him. Jesus, our last Adam, our hope, the one who came from heaven to earth for the sake of his people, to save his people from their sins. So we have divided this passage, brothers and sisters, that we may feed our own understanding of this man, Jesus Christ. So what we have done today, we read from verse 1 to 11, but we're not covering everything from verse 1 to 11. We shall look in the following weeks, looking deeper in the temptations of Jesus. What we want to see this morning is this word, it is written. How can this help us? That Jesus, in his temptation, will say, it is written. So, reading this passage reminds us that there is a battle that we are engaged in. There is an enemy of our soul. And we need to have a reliable and a powerful weapon against this enemy in order to be victorious. And the weapon must be adopted then from Jesus Christ himself. From this battle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that weapon is the Word of God. The powerful defensive mechanism to overcome temptation is the Word of God. The Word of God, which is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the hearts. It is by the power of the Word of God that Jesus could overcome temptation in the wilderness. And we see that as it says, it is written in verse 4, verse 7, and verse 10. So the point I want to make this morning is that this weapon of mass destruction, this weapon we are talking about that Jesus used against the devil, is still the same even after 2,000 years. It is still the same weapon. So for me to use this weapon of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will depend on three important facts from the battle in the wilderness. Three things that we need to see that will help us to use this or to benefit from this weapon of mass destruction. Looking unto Jesus, how he handled this temptation. The first thing that we see is Jesus' knowledge of the word. Jesus' knowledge of the word. Three times the devil afflicted the Lord Jesus Christ with temptation. Three times the devil offers Jesus Christ something, and this offer is rejected by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the principle which lies behind the rejection of this devil's offer is simple then, not casting out the devil or binding the devil, but it is the knowledge of the word of God. The knowledge of the word of God. Very important, knowing the word of God. So the devil comes to Jesus and he throws to Jesus this open challenge, aiming to lead Jesus astray. That is what the devil does. He wants to lead people astray. He says to Jesus in verse number 3, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. So the devil brings temptation in relation to the situation at hand. Put it in your own life. I am saying to you, the devil will not bring temptation that is not in the context of your situation where you are. So he will not tempt you to steal while you're sitting in a conversation with people. There is nothing to steal there. He will only tempt you to lie. So the temptation is always in the context of what is happening at the time. So now he tempts the Lord Jesus Christ to turn loaves of to turn the stones into loaves of bread. Why? Because Jesus Christ was hungry. The Bible tells us that after 40 days of fasting, in verse number 2, Jesus Christ was hungry. That's how the devil acts. He brings a temptation in relation to your situation. That's why we need to know the word of God. But Jesus said to him, in verse number 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So he shows confidence in the word of God. He proves knowledge of the word of God. He teaches us that physical satisfaction should never be considered above spiritual satisfaction. The things of this world, the things that we desire, should not be put first than the things of the Spirit. Jesus Christ teaches us that physical satisfaction should never be considered above spiritual satisfaction. In other words, do not make decision to gratify the flesh and its desires. Do not make decisions that only suits life now, but the end is death. Do not make your stomach your king. Do not make your belly your God. In verse 4 reveals Jesus' willingness to be regarded as man, though being God. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He admits that he himself is sustained by the very word of God. Jesus is sustained by the word of God. So if Jesus is sustained, brothers and sisters, by the word of God, is it not then the word of God that we need in our own temptations? If Jesus will cling and say, it is written, all that I have is that what is written, to fight the devil, is it not really the knowledge of the word of God that we need so that we may stand victorious before the devil in all our temptations as well? It is the word of God that we need. So Jesus here, we see that he does not use his divinity to fight the devil. We know that Jesus Christ is God, fully God, but is also fully man. But what he does here, he does not use his divinity to fight the devil. He uses his humanity to fight the devil. He uses the word of God. He stands against the devil using the word of God. He doesn't say to the devil, I am the Son of God. I'm greater than you. How dare you come to me? He uses the word. He uses the word of God. He says, it is written. So he depends on the power of the word of God. He shows knowledge of the word of God. He quotes from the Old Testament. He quotes from the word of God. He quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. Showing us the beauty of the word of God. Showing us the worthiness of the entire Bible. Telling us that the word of God, what I have in my hand, is all that I need to fight against temptation. He quotes from the word of God. The word of God, which was written at least 1,500 years before his time. He finds it very relevant to his situation. So if Jesus will find the word of God relevant to his situation, we can find the word of God relevant to our own situation. It is the word of God that is always relevant to our own situation. He confirms, as he quotes this word of God, that in all circumstances we can only hold to the word of God. So friends, God forbids that we look down on his word in any given circumstances. Here Jesus proves that the word of God is eternal, or the word of God is everlasting. It does not age. It can be written those years ago, but is still alive even today. The word of God never changed. The word of God will never lose. It will never lose its power. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, Jesus Christ says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Because the word of God stands forever. That's all that I need. I need the word of God to stand in my day and my time of trouble. So after saying it is written, the devil does not disagree, my friends. You see, the devil seems to think that he's smart. He gives Jesus this challenge. Jesus counts back. He comes back and he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. But the devil does not disagree with that. The devil goes and he dives into the word of God. He quotes from the book of Psalms. He says to Jesus in verse number 6, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. That's the devil now quoting, knowing that it is written. He says to Jesus, it is written, God will command his angel concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So the devil can say, the devil do say, it is written. So that is why, my friend, you must not only hear that it is written, because the devil can tell you that it is written. You must always know what is written. Not only hear what is written, know what is written. He can say it is written. He's been saying throughout many churches that it is written, although it is not written. But the people of God, they perish because they don't want to know that it is written. They only want to hear that it is written. So Jesus goes back to the word of God. He doesn't use another tactic. As the devil says, if you are the Son of God, you can throw yourself because it's written. Jesus Christ goes back to the word of God. He goes to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. He quotes the word of God. He says, you know what? Even though that is true, it is true that God, if I throw myself down, He will send His angels and carry me up. It is true. But let me tell you, in the contrary, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test. Though that it is true, but that is not what God is saying in my situation. You need to know what God is saying in your situation. Regardless whether the verse comes from the Bible, know the word of God. He says, you shall not put the Lord your God into test. So Jesus, my friend, He emphasized that Scripture cannot be broken. Scripture cannot be confused by men. Scripture cannot contradict itself. We must just know Scripture. Scripture cannot be contradicted by men for personal gains, even if it's for good purpose. But Scripture stands together. Scripture speaks of one God with one mission to save a people from Genesis to Revelation. It speaks of Jesus Christ who will come into the world and raise men from the dead, raising them up unto God that they may be able to serve and worship God. That is all the purpose there is. It cannot be broken. That is what Jesus is proving to us this morning. But Satan will not give up, my friend. As we read, we see that he does not give up. Even though Jesus says, no, it is written, do not put your God, the Lord your God, to test. The devil does not give up. The third time he took him to a very high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, he says, all this, you see this? All this I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Indeed, we will dive in deeper next week or the week to come, I'm not sure when, to see all these things, this temptation, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, all these temptations, we'll look at them. But here is the devil says, if you bow down and worship me, I will give all this. That is what people want most. All this. That's what he says to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet again, the Lord Jesus Christ quotes from the word of God. He's not using any other strategies. All that I have is the word. That's what he says. He goes back to the word of God. He quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 13. He uses the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, that will stand forever, that cannot be shaken. My friend, the point is very simple. Against the devil and against all evil, only the word of God can sustain you. Only by the word of God you can stand victorious. The word of God is the only powerful weapon of mass destruction. You cannot stand your ground. You cannot overcome outside the word of God. You are so vulnerable outside the word of God. You can always fall into a grievous sin if you stand outside the word of God. We need to have a knowledge of the word of God, which is what helps Jesus Christ to stand his ground, the knowledge of the word of God. So friends, knowing the word of God is very essential. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? It's a question. How can a young man be different from all these other young men in this world who goes in and out robbing people, robbing the elderly people, killing the youth, and killing themselves with drugs and inyawupe? How can a young man stand and be pure before God? This is the question that the psalmist is asking. Then you think he will say, no, he must be taken and be isolated and be put in a different place where he will not be part of the community. You think that's what the psalmist will say? No. He gives us an answer. He says, by guarding it according to your word, O God. The word of God is the only weapon that we have. The word of God is the only thing that we will have to guard us. That's what you need. Young man, you need the word of God. Old man, you need the word of God. Everybody needs the word of God. Knowing the word of God. In Psalm 1 verse 2, the Bible says, the psalmist again, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the ways of sinners, nor sit in the seat with scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Blessed is the man who only thinks that the law of God matters in this life, and that is the word of God. So friends, there is no magical formula but the Word of God. We need men and women who will love and who will desire to know the Word of God. People who will show the whole world that the Word of God is living and powerful. People who will show the whole world that the only weapon of mass destruction is the Word of God. Against all odds, against the devil and against anything else. We need men and women who will stand and say, we depend on the Word of God. Who will eat the Word of God like bread. Making some kind of an illustration, meaning that you may live with the Word of God day by day. So knowing the Word of God is also a very serious business, my friend, because it causes the devil to tremble. It raises people from the dead. It takes away fear of death. Once you know God through His Word, we are not fearing to die. Yes, you may be fearing the way you might die, but you're not fearing death, because you know that death is not the end. There is life for you. There is a future for you in Christ Jesus. You'll be raised from the dead when He comes back. Only the Word of God gives us that assurance. So it raises the dead. It takes away our fears. It restores our hope. And it increases our knowledge of God. My friend, in keeping the Word of God, you prove that you are in a covenant relationship with God. You are subject to His rule. You are subject to His lordship. You are subject to His control. You are subject to His authority. By keeping the Word of God, we are proving that you are one with Christ. The one who loves me will keep my word. He will keep my word. So by keeping the Word of God, I'm putting a stamp that I'm one with God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can someone say Amen? Amen. Knowing the Word of God will only strengthen your relationship with God. Knowing the Word of God will only sharpen your understanding of the truth. It is for you. And not for anyone else. We shall see that just now. So Jesus knew the Word, and by knowing the Word, He overcame the temptation of the devil. And that is one of the challenges we all have this morning, my friends. Knowing the Word of God, studying the Word of God, listening to the Word of God carefully. But secondly, what we see is also Jesus obedient to the Word. It doesn't help to know. You must also obey. So we see, secondly, Jesus' obedience to the Word. And that's another crucial point that we must bring. Because you can never obey something or someone you disregard. You can never obey something or someone you dishonor. And that is the problem with the church today, my friends. We have many people who claim to have the knowledge of the Word of God, but they continue on their sin. They continue to be disobedient to God and His Word. Claiming to know, but unable to obey what you know, is the very same thing that you do not know anything anyway. You must know and obey. So what we see, Jesus' obedience to the Word. And if you cannot obey the Word of God, as everyone does, I can tell you, my friends, that is a sign that you are not led by the Spirit as Jesus is led by the Spirit. As those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. We are not led by the Spirit, but we are led by Satan himself. If you cannot obey the Word of God. In verse number 6, Satan claims, this devil, he claims some kind of a knowledge of the Word of God. I've already quoted to you that he quotes from the book of Psalms. But in his claiming of knowing something of the Word of God, we do not see a sign of obeying anything. That's what he is. That's how he is. Claims to know, never obey. Whose children are you? Of the one who obeyed, who knew and obeyed, or the one who just claims to know and will never obey? Satan shows his true colors in verse number 6. And that is a clear difference, my friend, between the camp of those who are liars, the deceivers, and those of the truth. That is a clear difference between us. The devil and his team does not obey the Word of God. But here in the life of Jesus, here in this battle of Jesus and Satan, we see something new. We see someone who came to obey the Word of God. Someone who came to do the will of God. To do in contrary to Adam. Adam disobeyed God and then transgressed the law of God. We see someone different who obeys the Word of God and never transgressed the law of God. The devil in verse number 6 says it is written, but immediately proves his character. Immediately proves his character. Did he obey? Does he honor? Does he regard the word of God? No, he does not regard the word of God. He has no business in obeying the word of God. It is impossible for the devil to obey the word of God. That is why, my friend, he remained in ruins. Because it's impossible to obey the word of God. But praise to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you, my friend, you are standing in a different position. God did not let you continue in your sin. God did not let you continue in your rebellion as he did with Satan. But God showed his love that while we yet sinners, while we yet weak, Christ came and he died for the ungodly. While we yet sinners and enemies of God, God reconciled us through the blood of his Son to himself. Not to anyone else, but himself. He provided a way out of the pit. He snatched us from the garbage of sin. That we may love and obey him. That we may love and honor his ways. So my friend, disobeying the word of God is a very serious thing. And it has serious consequences. And Satan knows that disobeying the word of God has serious consequences, which is why then he tries so hard to mislead the Lord Jesus Christ. He tries 3 times just to get him to disobey the word. That is what he does in our lives, over and over and over, that you may disobey God. He knows that has very serious consequences, and that is what the devil did to Adam and succeeded. That is what the devil has been doing throughout all history and succeeding. That is the same thing that he's doing today and is also succeeding, leading many into disobedience, the disobedience of God, causing many to look away from the word of God, causing many people to disregard the word of God, causing many churches to bring up goats, not sheep but goats, causing many to turn a blind eye to the truth, knowing the truth but not doing the truth. The Bible says if you know what is right that you must do and you do not do it, we have sinned. The devil has led many and caused many to disobey God. That is what he wants to do with you. What must you do? Obey the law. Obey the word of God. So it is by obeying what is written, my friend, that the Christian can stand, that the Christian can overcome temptation. Unlike the Israel of the old who failed to obey the word of God, Jesus, the true Israel of God, he obeys the word of God so that me and you, the new Israel of God, may be able then to obey the word of God. He's doing it for us, not for himself. Jesus is for us. That's why the Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He is for us. He's doing this. He's doing it for us. The true Israel of God. Unlike the Israel of the old, who complained in the wilderness and they perished, they did not enter into rest. Here we are, we stand today, God calling us to his rest. Come to me, you who are heavy laden. Come to me, I will give you rest, the rest of your soul. Obey my word and you shall live. So the Bible says, when you are faced with temptation, run the other direction. And that demands, that calls for obedience. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Listen to what the Lord says. He says, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness. When you encounter these youthful passions, when sin comes to you, trying to entangle you, trying to move you offshore, flee. Look the other way. Pursue righteousness. That demands obedience, my friends. In Mark chapter 14, verse 38, the Bible says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. That demands obedience. That you may watch, that you may pray. Someone needs to obey. Obey the word of God. Of course, trusting God. Trusting in God is the key, because God will never lead you. God will never allow you to be tempted beyond your ability or your capability to stand. We need to rely on God. We must trust God. We must pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lord, lead us not to a position or a place where we shall be open to the temptations of the devil. Lead us, Lord, unto your ways. Lead us, Lord, unto your own paths, the paths of righteousness. So in this passage, my friend, we can see the importance of obeying what is written. It is the only way you can stand. It is the only way we can stand victorious. It is the only way you can stand side by side with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is, my friend, how does this obedience start? Because a few weeks ago I was preaching and saying we are born in sin. We are totally depraved. We are ruined from birth. So I cannot just be born and begin to obey. How does this obedience start? How can I obey the word of God? I'm glad that you have asked. It only begins by believing on the one who obeyed the word of God completely from beginning to end. It is only by looking unto Jesus, gazing upon the beauty of Christ, seeing the cross as your only answer. It begins by you believing in Him, having faith and repentance, turning away from your sins, casting your burden unto Him, calling Him unto your life. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life. I know I am a sinner. I know that you are right. You've always been right and I've always been wrong. Here I stand. I repent. I know that I'm wrong. Not only wrong, but I'm a sinner. It begins from there. That's where it begins, to obey the word of God. We need to obey the word that says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So you obey the truth by believing on Him who came into the world to save sinners. Therefore, by walking in the path of obedience, you are walking in the light of God's presence. You are walking in the light of the truth. And those of us who are in Christ, we glory in obeying the truth of the gospel. That is what we want to do. That is who we are, obeying the truth of the gospel. Because our obedience is the work of God. It is not our work. Our obedience, it is done unto us. Christ raised us from the dead, enabling us that we may be able to obey. So we say, praise the Lord. As we obey you, we are saying, because we have done this unto us. Obeying and obeying God. So, for you to hear it said unto you on the last day, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom of God that is prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For you to hear these words when you come before God, for you to be taken from one side to the other, for you to be held as a sheep among the goats, for you to enter the kingdom of God in its fullness, for you to enjoy eternal life in the eternal state. Obey the word of God. For you to resist the devil, obey the word of God. But thirdly, know the word, obey the word. But thirdly, we see Jesus' application of the word. He applies the word in his situation. That's what we mean. You need to apply the word in your situation. Knowing it, obeying it, calls for you to apply it. So Jesus Christ, He applies the word of God. He makes the word of God the weapon of mass destruction. His own personal weapon of mass destruction. Regardless of when it was written, it is still suitable and right for Him. So that's what makes the word of God very special, my friends. Because it does not change throughout generation, but it changes all generation. It applies in the lives of people from the past to the future. It stands. The word of God is for me for today. That's what it means. So when I read the word of God, I read it for me for today. When I listen to the word of God, I'm listening to the word of God for me for today. I'm not studying the word of God for someone else. I'm not listening to the word of God for someone else, but for me. So I preach this word to you, for today. It will be a shame. It will be very devastating to me to hear someone say, "Bachele mfundisi." No, Mtela wena. Meaning, to hear someone say, tell them, pastor. No, I'm telling you. The word is for you. It is not for someone else who's not here. As God told me, spoke to me, was telling me when I was preparing this word. Now, I'm telling you. It is for you. It is for me. For today. So you need to apply the word of God today. For you today. If you hear the word of God today, do not harden your hearts as it were in the days of the past. So the question that rises then, the question that you may ask, why does the people fail? How is it that people fail to apply the word of God? It's very simple, my friend. I think you already know the answer. People do not study the word of God. People reject the word of God. People disregard the power that is in the word of God. People, they will treat the word of God as mere words. Just words. Then their lives just become mere everything. This is not just words. There is power. It raises from the dead. The reason why people cannot apply it in their old lives, they don't know it. They don't study it. They don't regard the word of God. They don't see the power in the word of God. So you cannot apply something that you do not have. That's what I'm trying to say. You cannot apply something you do not have. You do not apply something. You can never apply something that you do not know. For example, this morning you applied lotion, but you applied something that you have, something that you know when to apply. That's what you did. So it is with the word of God. You can apply something that you have. You must have the word of God. Is it not true? You applied lotion because you have it. And you know where to find it. You know how to apply it. Why is it difficult with the word of God? We must have it. Know it. How to find it. How to apply it in our own lives. So what you do? You look at your situation. You ask the question. As things happen and unfold in your life, you ask the question, what is God's instruction in my life now, in this situation? Where I stand, what is God's command for me? What is God's encouragement for me? What is God's expectation in my situation right now? Then you take the word of God, you bring it into your situation. That is applying the word of God. Going to the word of God and make it apply in your life. That is what Jesus did. He brought it into his situation. When Satan tried to bring the word of God, to change the word of God, to twist the word of God, Jesus Christ was able to see, that does not apply to me right now. I cannot apply my lotion. I have not washed my face. I must wash my face, then apply my lotion. I must know when and how. He applied the word of God in his situation. So he quotes from the book of Deuteronomy. He knew the word of God for himself, not for other people only, but for himself. So therefore he was able then to respond and say, I will live the way God has planned for me. I will live the way God has said. So be gone from me, Satan. The word of God stands. He was able to say that because he knew the word that applied in his situation. So he did not draw random verses, my friends. He quoted directly from the word of God in the context of each individual temptation, as we shall see in the days to come. So my friends, the Bible is the supreme authority in all matters of doctrine and practice, my friends. The word of God, the written word of God, is the complete truth and the only authority in the life of a Christian. So if there is anything in your life or anything in your culture, if there's anything in your tradition that contradicts the word of God, guess what? Let me give you good news. The word of God overrides it. Because the word of God is the chief authority in all practices. The word of God stands. The written word of God. Because it cannot be contradicted and does not contradict itself. So as a Christian, you do not live according to a personal opinion. We do not live according to good ideas that seems to be godly ideas. There are many good ideas That seems to be godly ideas. But not every good idea is a godly idea. We do not live according to opinions. We live according to the word of God. By every word that comes from the mouth of God. The question that I must bring to you. When last did you read? Did you study the word of God? When last did you set aside the time to hear the word of God in the comfort of your home? My friend, are you dedicated to the word of God? Are you committed to the word of God? Is the word of God the compass in your chain as you walk in this world? Is the word of God the light on your feet and the lamp on your path? Is the word of God the anchor of your life, my friend? Because the early church, if you look back, they knew it was written. They knew the power that is in the word of God. The Bible says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Also, the believers in Berea, the Bible tells us that they knew what was written. The Bible says they were more noble than those of Thessalonica. They received the word of God with eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. When last did you examine the things of God to see if it is so? When last did you desire to hear from God, direct from His word, diving in as it were, as you would dive into water, saying, Lord, here I am, provide me in or through your word. So my friends, I think we can conclude, I think we agree, it is the ignorance of man to the word of God that leads man to sink deep in sin, sink to rise no more, to live unholy lives, to be unable to walk the walk of Christ, to walk as He walked. That people remains grown up babies. People who wants to drink milk even though they are already 15 years old in the church. But because they deprave themselves from the word of God, they remain grown up babies, causing all sorts of unnecessary problems into the church. But friends, the only way you can stand, the only way you can overcome, the only way you can defeat and never be blinded by the schemes and the ways of the devil is by the power of the word of God. You must listen, you must know, you must value, you must obey, you must apply the word of God in your life. So first, let me remind you once again, as we close, know what is written. Because the Bible says in Hosea 4 verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So you must know what is written. It is the lack of knowledge and the rejection of the word of God that leads people to perish. Secondly, as I remind you again, things that I've already said, obey the word of God. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3 verse 10, because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming upon the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I will keep you because you keep my word. That is a great promise, my friends. If I keep the word of God, the Lord will keep me from trouble. He will keep me from the trial that comes unto the whole world. Thirdly, apply the word of God in your life. The Bible tells us in Romans 15 verse 4, for whatever was written in former days, it was written for our instruction, that through angels and through the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. What is written is for our encouragement. What is written is for our instruction. So friends, Jesus said in the wilderness, it is written. My question is, what do you say in your own temptation, in your own situation? Are you able to say, it is written? Do you know it is written? Do you obey that which is written? Do you apply that which is written in your life? Guess what? It is impossible. It will always be impossible for me to apply and to know and to obey that which is written unless I have come to Jesus and received Him as my Savior and my Lord. It is going to be impossible. But praise to God, He reminds us day by day, come to me. Get rid of your wickedness. by coming, by looking unto me, by looking upon the cross. Unless you come to him in faith and repentance, my friends, my question is, have you done that? Have you done that, my friend? Will you not do it today? Will you not call upon him today? If you've already done that, will you not then know his word today? Desire to know his word. Will you not then begin to obey his word? Because that is the proof that I'm in a covenant relationship as I obey his word. Will you not then begin to apply his word in your life? That is what blesses me as I read this text. As Jesus says, it is written, the knowledge of the word, the obedience to the word, and applying the word of God in my situation. Can you apply the word of God in your situation? I encourage you to apply the word of God as the week has already begun. Until we meet again, applying the word of God, diving into the word of God, to know the word of God, obeying the word of God, making your life a living sacrifice unto God. May the good God bless us all as we think and contemplate on these ways. Let us pray.
So we thank you, O Lord, for your word, O Lord, that our Lord Jesus Christ was able to use when he was tempted. And we thank you, O Lord, that we have access to the same word that he used, O Lord, that we are also able to use it when temptation comes our way. So may you help us, O Lord, to love this word, O Lord, to make it our prayers day and night, O Lord, to meditate upon it, to love it more than any other thing, O Lord, and to do according to it. That you, O Lord, may help us to know your will for our lives, that you may help us in temptation, that we may not fall into it, but that we may walk in your ways, O Lord. So we pray that this word, O Lord, may be planted in the hearts of your children, that it may bear fruit in them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.